Good morrow and well met. How have ye done since last we saw in front?
I thank your grace.
Helpful.
And ever since a fresh admirer of what I saw there.
An untimely aid, you stayed me a prisoner in my chamber when those sons of glory, those two lights of men, met in the Vale of Andren.
Twixt Dean and Ard, I was then present, saw them salute on horseback, beheld them when they lighted, how they clung in their embracement as they grew together. Which had they what four thrown once could have weighed, such a compounded one.
All the whole time I was my chamber's prisoner.
And then you lost the view of earthly glory.
Men might say, till this time, pomp was single, but now married to one above itself. Each following day became the next day's master, till the last made former wonders its. Today the French, all clinkant, all in gold, like heathen gods, shone down the English, and tomorrow they made Britain India. Every man that stood showed like a mine. Their dwarfish pages were as cherubims, all gilt. The two kings, equal in luster, were now best, now worst, as presence did present them. Him in eyes, fill him in praise. And being present both, who said they saw but one, and no discerner durst wag his tongue in censure. When these sons, for so they praised them, by their heralds challenged the noble spirits to arms, they did perform beyond thought's compass.
Oh, ye go far.
As I belong to worship and affect in honor honesty, the tract of everything would by a good discourse lose some life which action self was tongue to. All was royal. To disposing of it, naught rebelled. Order gave each thing view. The artist did distinctly his full function.
Who did guide? I mean, who set the body and the limbs of this great sport together, as you guess?
One certes who promises no element in such a business.
I pray you who, my lord?
All this was ordered by the good discretion of the Right Reverend Cardinal of York.
Devil speed him. No man's pie is freed from his ambitious finger. What had he to do with these fierce vanities? I wonder that such a Keats can with his very bulk take up the rays of the beneficial sun and keep it from the earth.
But surely, sir, there's in him stuff that puts him to these ends. For we are not popped by ancestry whose grace chalks successes their way, nor called upon for high feats done to the crown, nor allied to eminent assistance. But spider-like, out of his self-drawing web, gives us note, the force of his own merit makes his way, a gift that heaven gives for him, which buys a place next to the king.
I cannot tell what heaven hath given him. Let some graver eye pierce into that. But I can see his pride peep through each part of him. Whence has he that? If not from hell, the devil is a niggard, or has given all before, and he begins a new hell in himself.
Why the devil, upon this prince going out, took he upon him without the privity of the king to appoint who should attend on him?
He makes up the file of all the gentry, for the most part such to whom with greater charge as little honour he meant to lay upon.
Though I do know kinsmen of mine, three at the least, that have by this so sickened their estates that never they shall abound as formerly.
Oh, many have broke their backs with laying manners on them for this great journey.
Grievingly, I think, the peace between the French and us not values the cost that did conclude it.
Every man, after the hideous storm that followed, was a thing inspired, and not consulting, broke into a general prophecy. But this tempest, dashing the garment of this peace, aboded the sudden breach of it.
Which is muddied out, for France hath floored the league, and hath attached our merchants' goods at Mortal.
Is it therefore the ambassador is silent?
Yes, man, he is.
A proper title of a peace, and purchased at a superfluous rate.
In all this business, our reverend cardinal carried.
Like it, your grace. The state takes notice of the private difference between you and the cardinal. I advise you, and take it from a heart that wishes towards you honor and plenteous safety, that you read the cardinal's malice and his potency together. To consider further that what his high hatred would effect wants not a minister in his power. You know his nature, that he's revengeful, and I know his sword hath a sharp edge. It is long, and may be said it reaches far, and where it will not extend, thither he darts it. Was it not my counsel? I'll find it wholesome.
Where comes that clock that I advise you to come here?
The Duke of Buckingham's surveyor. Where's his examination?
Here, so please you. Is he in person ready?
Aye, please, your grace.
Well, we shall then know more, and Buckingham shall lessen this big look.
This butcher's cur is venom-mouthed, and I have not the power to muzzle him. Therefore, best not wake him in his slumber. A beggar's brought out worse than noble blood.
What? Are you chafed? Ask God for temperance.
if lands only that your disease requires.
I read Insluck's method against me, and his eye reviled me as his abject object. At this instant he bores me with some trick. He's gone to the king. I'll follow and outstare him.
Stay, my lord.
Let him reason with your collar, question what 'tis you go about. Climb steep hills requires slow pace at first. Anger is like a pooled hot horse who, being allowed his way, self-mettle tires him.
Not a man in England can advise me like you. Be to yourself as you would to your friend.
I'll to the king, and from a mouth of honor, quite cry down this Ipswich fellow's insolence, or proclaim this difference in no persons.
Be advised. Heat not a furnace for your foe, so hot that it do singe yourself.
We may outrun by violent swiftness that which we run at, and lose by overrunning. Be advised.
I say again, there is no English soul more stronger to direct you than yourself. If with the sap of reason you would quench, or but allay the fire of passion.
Sir, I am thankful to you, and I'll go along by your prescription. But this top-proud fellow, whom from the flow of gall I name not, but from sincere motions, by intelligence and proofs as clear as founts in July, when we see each grain of gravel, I do know to be corrupt and treasonous.
Say not treasonous.
To the king, I'll say it, and make my vows as strong as sword of rock. Not attempt. This holy fox, or wolf, or both, for he is equal ravenous as he is subtle, as prone to mischief as able to perform it, his mind and place infecting one another, yea, reciprocally, only to show his pomp as well in France as here at home, suggests the king our master to this last costly treaty, the interview that swallowed so much treasure, and like a glass did break you the rich.
Happy? So he did.
Pray give me favor, sir. This cunning cardinal, the articles of the combination, drew as himself pleased, and they were ratified as he cried, thus let be, to as much end as give a crutch to the dead. Now this follows, which as I take it is a kind of puppy to the old damn treason. Charles the Emperor, under pretense to see the queen, his aunt, for it was indeed his colour, but he came to whisper Wolsey, here makes visitation. Now his fears were that the interview betwixt England and France might through their amity breed him some prejudice, for from this league peeped harms that menaced him, privily deals with our cardinal. And as I trow, which I do well, for I am sure the Emperor paid, he promised, whereby his suit was granted ere it was asked, but when the way was made and paved with gold, the Emperor thus desired that he was pleased to alter the king's course and break the aforesaid peace. Let the king know, as soon he shall by me, that thus the cardinal does buy and sell his honour as he pleases, and for his own advantage.
I am sorry to hear this of him, and could wish he were something mistaken in.
No, not a syllable. I do pronounce him in that very shape he shall appear in proof.
Your office, sergeant.
Excuse us.
Sir, my lord the Duke of Buckingham, and Earl of Hereford, Stafford, and Northampton, I arrest thee of high treason. In the name of our most sovereign king.
I know you, my lord. The net has fallen upon me. I shall perish under device and practice.
I'm sorry to see you taken from liberty to look on the business present. It is his highness' pleasure you shall to the tower.
It will help me nothing to plead my innocence, for that dye is on me which makes my whitest part black. The will of heaven be done in this and all things. I am thanked. My lord Abergany, fare you well.
Nay, he must bear you company.
If the king is pleased, you shall to the tower till you know how he determines further.
As the duke said, the will of heaven be done, and the king's pleasure by me obeyed.
It is warrant from the king to attach Lord Montacute and the bodies of the duke's confessor, John de la Carre, on Gilbert Peck, his chancellor.
So. These are the limbs of the plot, no more, I hope.
A monk of the Chartreuse.
Nicholas Hopkins?
He.
My surveyor is false. The o'er-great cardinal hath showed him gold. My life is spanned already. I am the shadow of poor Buckingham, whose figure even this instant cloud puts on by darkening my clear sun.